Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. Oops, I had my mic wrapped around, or the wire wrapped around the mic. Okay, hi, this is Michelle Mache, your host and co-pilot. That bit of music was Golden Gate by Monopoly, also known as Charles. I don't know if he's in the chat room, but he is one of our Awakened listener participants. Hello, everyone in the sacred space of chat room. That is the wonderful place of grounding and insight and inspiration. And hello all that are listening via Cosmic D. Great to connect with all of you. And hello to everyone that's listening via phone and also that will be listening to the archives. You are with us now, as always. So if you'd like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, and that will let me know that you have a question or a comment. And, you know, last week when I was saying people were listening by listening in the car while they're driving, I had a couple people email me and also Facebook messaged me that they were driving right when I was talking, and they're like, "You were speaking to me," and I was. I can feel, I'm psychic. I can tell. But of course, I do get a lot of, feedback and messages that people do listen a lot in the car. So, with their headset, even biking, cycling. We've even had, I believe it's Dana from the Midwest, who listens while she's making soap and milking the goat. If you do have questions or comments, if you want questions answered on air or on my blog, which is Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, what you can do is email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. That's also the place, by the way, for if you have guests, some people want me as a guest on their Blog Talk Radio programs, and I'm totally open to that. Or they would like to be a guest here, or they have a, someone that they want to be a guest. What you need to do is just email awakenings@selfandlight.com. Okay, are we having sound issues? There should be sound. That's the best way. Also, for readings, if you want personal readings with me, private readings, or that's info@selfandlight.com. So I don't regularly check, or my assistants and producers don't regularly check Facebook as much, the messages, because you know why, and also Blog Talk Radio, because so many people use the message box, so there's all kinds of stuff there. So, how is sound? Okay, white calla lily's got sound. Yay, great. So that's the way I do it that way. It's just easier if you email awakenings@selfandlight.com or info@selfandlight.com. It's much easier to, there's not a bunch of events or just a bunch of, I don't know what, face blogs. They're just over, and this way we can just hit click, you know, or if it's some information you want, it can be forwarded easily to me. I got to tell you guys, I absolutely, absolutely, absolutely love doing the readings. And I love answering on my blog. I've got a lot of email questions that I'm starting to answer all the way scheduled up to May 23rd. So with that, we're going to get actually to a couple email questions right now, and before our guest comes in, because that's what we like to do, readings between 12 and 12:45. Yes, and let me remind you, I'm going to let people know actually next week too, but the 22nd, Friday the 22nd, we're going to do this coming Friday, April 22nd, same time, 12 p.m., we're going to do a special segment of Awakenings where it's simply going to be a gathering. I'm starting to do these kinds of things in small groups locally, and we're doing some virtually, and eventually we'll be doing them local to global and streaming on the website. And then people can even download copies. We'll be archiving them as well. Gathering of the light workers, light bearers, way showers, indigos, those that are consciously on the path, living more wake aware. And these connectings will basically, I want to call them connectings and sharings. It's not about your books. It's not about whatever you're doing. I mean, you can share that towards the end, but it's really coming together as spiritual beings, as star seeds, light workers, metaphysicians, people awakening, all levels, coming together and just sharing how they're adjusting to the energies of the new emerging consciousness. So I'm going to call these little conscious soul pods, if you will, where we're coming together. I do this on my own with quite a few healers and metaphysicians around the globe, and it's just wonderful when you get the feedback and the confirmations of what's going on in different cities, different states, different countries. It's just wonderful to get that information and to connect. And that's one thing that we need to be doing. And so we're going to start it here with Awakenings because we have the platform here. Maui Shaman, Paula will be here. I believe Gail Powell, who Divine Mystic, who is an amazing astrologer. We do have some people, I believe, that are connecting from England. Maisha Hazard, Reverend Dr. Maisha Hazard, advanced metaphysician, will be meeting. It is it will be Friday. We're working with the energies around Easter, which have to do with fertility and renewal. So it will be Friday, April 22nd at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And we kept it at the same time. That way people that are so it's a kind of a virtual audio gathering, how's that? That way that people that are, in different continents can connect with the time. You know, we had some of the people saying, well, that's, if you do it later, it's 10 o'clock for me in England or whatever. So I'm hoping Dennis, anybody talk to Spiritual Pilot, I'd love to have his input here. And, of course, all of yours. And if possible, I'll be kind of moderating it, to call in 347-539-5122. If I can patch you in, Lightbeam21 is my Skype handle. Or, of course, in the chat room. But if you can call in and we can hear your voice and let us know how you're doing. How are you doing with these energies of the new emerging consciousness? How are you adjusting to the energies? What's helping you adjust? We need to come together, as a group. We need to come together as a whole, and we need to share our insight. That's why I always say shine your light, share your insight. The second coming of Christ, the Christos energy, the light energy, the anointed ones are simply the aware ones. They have the light. It's a local to global. It's everyone awakening to the truth of who they are, that they hold the light, that they hold a necessary key to the shift, to the awakening, to the new paradigm that's being created. And it's like a construction site. All hands are needed on the ship, all hands on deck. So really want to open it up and hear from all of you. And again, that'll be Friday, April 22nd at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And with the retrograde, who knows what's going to be happening. Okay, so we're going to do a couple of questions that people have emailed in, and then we'll get to the phone lines. Again, and Tamara, thank you. Thank you. If you would put the link to my Daily Om course, how could I forget? I am Lucy and Tan, it is already here, the Christ energy. Yeah, we are the Christ energy. The thing is, the second coming is people awakening to that and living that and being the message or the Messiah. So the Messiah is the message. It's the messenger. So as everyone awakens that they hold a message that has to be lived, created, shared. We are a divine or living message. Actually, Carl Jung coined that we're a living message or a living question being answered. And it's true. Out of a vibrational frequency, out of the void, there we are. So we are an answer to a vibrational frequency, and to from that vibrational frequency, thought forms. And from the thought forms come the etheric and then physical forms. So everything on the planet, everything in the universe is needed and necessary until it is no more. That is the word. We speak that. What we speak is meant to be. And when it's no longer cohesive or coherent, it's no longer harmonizing, then it is no more. Okay, so I'm really excited. Tamara just put the link. Thank you, Tamara, my amazing light being energy that you are. I just got a message from a friend of mine that my Daily Own course, Navigate the Shift, 2012 Navigate the Shift, and it's about the whole process. I wanted them to change the title, but somebody had 2012 and beyond. But that's really what this is about. And we've been in the shift for, you know, many years, a good solid, thousands of years. But really it went into high gear, as you heard me, in the 80s, late 80s, at the harmonic convergence. We're just in the quickening phase. We go into another quickening phase at the winter solstice in 2012. That's what that's about. And what that means is that we, I believe, are exact conjunct or a wide orb of conjunction to the galactic center, which simply means we understand and begin to integrate our galactic roots, our starseed roots, our alien roots, our other dimensional roots, however you want to put it. So I got an email from a wonderful friend this morning, so excited that my Daily Own course, 2012 Navigate the Shift, it's all about the individual and collective shift that's going on. I've got what your mode of energy is, your main modes of energy, setting an intention, the language of the soul, how to find your soulmate, your soul tribe, the whole, because we're in the age of the soul. You can't talk about the shift or the new paradigm without talking about the soul, because it's about moving from ego projections and perceptions and ego creations into the soul design and living spirit led. Anyway, so excited. My Daily Own course, 2012, Navigate the Shift, which just came out only a couple weeks ago, April 13th, is number 13 in their top 40 out of hundreds of courses. So I was so excited. And when they tested the course, they said they loved it. That's why they launched it early. They said it's so transforming, such a transformative course. So I'm just really, I'm excited. I'm humbled. I'm a little shocked. Surprised. I don't know if shocked. That might be a little strong. But anyway, Tamara in the chat is saying, I highly recommend Michelle's course. It's so helpful. The great thing about the course is you have it for a year. You can do it at your own pace. Heck, you can even print out the material. And it's on a sliding scale. So it's very affordable for everyone. You pay what you can. Exchange, and it took me a year to put the course together. You know, there's 8 lessons plus a bonus lesson, which makes it 9. There's meditations, there's alignment meditations. I do clearing work. I'm there with you on video. I'm there with you in the written word, written lessons, quotes. I've got every week there's an affirmation for the week to help you really connect into the material and integrate it so you begin to transform. It's done on an arc, so you come out, there's an amazing, amazing result all along the way, but it's a journey that you're taking with me and with your higher self. So it's also about connecting to the higher self, finding your soul design, learning how to interpret the messages, how to live in this new world that we're creating. It's a very, very different world. It's getting less and less based on the ego. So, Tamara's put links in the chat. Those of you that are listening, I'm going to just run by some resources so that you have them. The Daily Om course, I guess you'd find it dailyom.com, and you can put Michelle Mache or 2012 Navigate the Shift. Also, my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, if you want to put questions there. I like writing, you know, in my blog or talking, but I also like hearing from questions, comments, feedback. Also, how you're aligning to your own transition, your own transformation. What do you see happening? So you can contact me there at Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, or, of course, the Facebook page, Michelle Mache, which is for Awakenings Radio. Did I miss anything? SelfAndLight.com, Twitter, Michelle Mache. I think that's it. Okay, so everybody has the info, and it's also in the chat room. Okay. I love this question. It's from somebody in Australia, and they're saying that they love the show and they've been exploring spirituality for a while and they're diving in, but they've been feeling a lot of chronic fatigue and had lots of treatment. And then they're asking, what do they think the life purpose is and what's ahead? I would say please do the Daily Om course, because I go into how to connect into your life purpose. I take you on a whole, I'm telling you, literally it took me a year of writing. This is like a book is going to come out of this, because, and sometimes 6, 7, 8 hours a day and of writing and then making the videos. You know, they're anywhere from 5 minutes to 15-minute videos. So Australia, everyone, if you want to know what your life purpose is, what's the soul, what's your soul purpose, I would say connect to the Daily Om course, 2012, Navigate the Shift. Or you can call me, you can ask, we can do a reading, but I can't do that by just an email question. The chronic fatigue, why I wanted to answer this question, look around at who is around you. Chronic fatigue, when we look at body-mind medicine, when we look at energetic medicine, chronic fatigue usually has to do with people that are around somebody very close to them. Friend, well, usually lover, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband. I've rarely seen it with siblings, but husbands, wives, usually it's, unfortunately, men get it too, but a lot of times women. You're with somebody that's sucking the life out of you. Usually you're with somebody that's plugged into you emotionally, and there's not boundaries there. So definitely with chronic fatigue, I mean, there are supplements, there are things that you can take, FOTI, Hishuwo, which Romania, talk to a good acupuncturist, nutritionist, but it's on an energetic level. Yeah, Lucian's also saying vibrational medicine. Yeah, I studied that. Vibrational medicine is a great book. Got it right here. However, what's happening, why you're chronically fatigued, is you're giving, you know, Richard Gerber, the vibrational medicine book, studied with him years and years and years ago. That is a biggie, because usually the people that have the chronic fatigue don't think it's the person closest to them. But that is, it's usually somebody very close to you, an intimate partner, that you're in a codependent relationship. You're having to caretake or give too much to that person. So look around you. You've got to pull in your energy, also connecting more to source energy. But I found people get better. However, I have found that it doesn't completely get alleviated. Call it a medical hypnosis, you ameliorate or alleviate. So you either make it better or get rid of it altogether. You've got to change your relationships, your relationship to that primary person that's sucking you dry. And that will be the person that's saying, come with me, I want to go get something to eat. Well, I'm going to stay home and read. No, come with me, I want you to come with me. Doing things that you don't really want to do, that don't bring you joy. Your joy connects you to source, not happiness, not exhilaration, not happy, not sad, not the emotional states, but the feeling tone of your being, the sensing feeling tone of your being, that inner peace, peace, calm, those things that are hard to describe, those feeling senses that are hard to describe, your joy. So when you're doing things that bring you joy, and you can feel it, there's a tickle. There's a, like when I get a bunch of email questions, like, oh, goody, oh, good, I get to answer these. I get, you know, light. If you don't have enough of that in your life, you're not replenishing the spiritual body, the mental body, the higher and lower mental body, the astral body, the higher emotional body, lower emotional body, etheric body, and the physical body. It begins to get drained. You're not recycling the energy because our desire, especially when it's purified, that passion, the purpose, the tickle, connects you to the subtle energy and you get replenished. So look around and see, are you doing a lot of things that make you feel tight in the stomach? Oh, Lucian in the chat, self-fulfillment and happiness resonate. Yes, if you're doing things that make you feel tight in the I don't really want to do this, or this person is all, you know, again, they're very codependent relationships. I've not seen a relationship with chronic fatigue that does not have a codependent characteristic to it. And so once you start shifting, moving into true empowerment where you feel that even their relationships, a lot of times with the person feels they can't be on their own or they can't be alone, usually financially. They feel that financially they won't make it. So it's plugging into a certain role, having to usually suppress some of your energy and some of your exuberance because of the person that you're with, the partner you're with. Or it's somebody suppressing their energy to fit in a role of over-caretaking. So I would say definitely work energetically, get, you know, things that you can do on a physical level, algae, blue-green algae, chlorella, you know, deep leafy greens, foods that have more life force, get a pendulum or do an O-ring testing so you're making sure the foods that you're taking, ingesting, it's all spiritual food too. It's not just physical food. It's what are you ingesting? Are you ingesting thoughts, you know, people around you, because we're all just energy, even people that are energizing you, or are they draining you? Are you around people that are talking too much? Usually one person will be in the relationship that talks, drains. Listen to me. And then the person next to them is just getting sucked dry. It's just like a little waif or wallflower. But you have to move into a space where you feel like you're worth it, that you can do it alone, that you don't have to sacrifice your joy, your fulfillment, your routine. I have seen it with parents. Again, I'm not seeing it so much with siblings unless you're living with that person. And usually it's somebody very close to you in close quarters. But great, great question. Then we've got another one, and then we will get to the questions. Natural is saying, sounds like my kids. Well, yeah, that's why boundary, you know, I work with a lot of parents, and also having come from being a teacher, I have my parents get a little sign, mommy downtime, daddy downtime, mommy's meditating. And even with little four-year-olds, you can just start training them. They'll love it. Like, okay, mommy's sad, I'm going to draw a picture of how I feel today, or I feel happy. You train them, okay, that the timeout isn't something bad. In other words, okay, you're tired, take a timeout, or you're moody or whatever. It's okay to just self-soothe. See, we're not taught in this culture to self-soothe. And that goes back to the chronic fatigue, because usually they have people around them, children, a husband, somebody. I've seen it with why I, years and years ago, actually worked with a husband, the wife constantly ill, constantly this and that going on, and he was run ragged, and he ended up having to take leave of absence with work. And that's usually what they do. Usually people that have the chronic fatigue, they sacrifice their friendships, but what they need to do is have less, over-connection, less merging with those intimate people or intimate partners around them. Little light. Michelle, can you shed yourself from the energy vampires, or do you have to physically remove yourself? Great question. Some people need to do, and I'll get back to O-ring, Todd. Some people need to do both for a while. I don't tend to have energy vampires around me. I mean, everybody does. Every so often, you know, that happens to you. Nobody is immune to it. But it's how long you stay with it. Part of it is, it's your own, what keeps, it's all interstate, it's consciousness, it's your own inner boundaries, and sticking to it. That's why I'm saying it's usually very codependent relationships where the person, there's a tacit or, you know, non-written, but a subconscious, well, lightly conscious, it's conscious agreement that I'll do this for you and you take care of me, or you do this or that. So it's an inner boundary. Like if you, like for the codependent person, the person with the chronic fatigue, if you don't want to go somewhere, if you're enjoying spending time by yourself or reading and that's what you want to do, you hold to that. You don't cave in. See, the caving in is what wears you down, and what energetically, you know, it's almost a form of dying. The chronic fatigue, it's like, my life isn't worth enough. I don't deserve enough to have what I want or do what I really want to do. And so you're putting someone else's life, or letting them manipulate you, you're putting someone else's needs and wants above your own. It's a form of really not, out of fear, not having that self-love and acceptance of one's needs. So I've seen people remove themselves from the situation, but then they just recreate it. So it's about boundaries. It's about moving out of codependence, moving into interdependence, and having your own support system, your own set of friends that you can hang out with that rejuvenate you, that energize you. A lot of times these people will have also a lot of headaches because the energy isn't flowing freely. So O-ring. Let me show you O-ring, and then we'll get to Soul Tribe message. And then we'll get later to the rest of the email and get to the callers. You can use your right hand or left hand. It can be left if your right hand's more dominant. Take your, I'm going to do it with my left hand right now. So I'm going to take my left thumb and my right index finger, and I'm going to make the OK sign. So I'm going to make a little ring. Everyone can do this with me. And then you can ask a question or hold the O-ring over food or anything. Then take your right thumb and right forefinger and put them together like little pinchers, like you're going to do like little pinchers. The you know, moving the right forefinger and right thumb up and down, almost like it's talking, like it's quacking. Okay, that's to give you that. So put them together, and then you're going to take that right thumb and right forefinger and put it in the O-ring. If when you open the right thumb and right forefinger, when you open it up, whatever you're doing, thinking, the person, the relationship, the food, if when you open it up the O-ring stays strong, then that's life enhancing for you. If it opens and weakens, then that person, that situation, that belief, that food is weakening your electromagnetic system and therefore even the immune system. So that it's a form of muscle testing. It's along the lines of using a pendulum. The thing is, you have to be clear, be in a little, as much of a meditative state as you can be, so that you don't influence the decision. We had one more question in the chat I will get to. Looking for substance, white calla lily, about Soul Tribe. Follow the resonance. I go into this. I hate to keep saying my daily on course, but it walks you through it on an everyday level, how to connect to your Soul Tribe. Follow the resonance. Follow what you're drawn to, where the true openings are, where you feel a slight nudge. We've done this before on air. If you think of two things, or a few things in front of you, let's say just a decision. Keep it simple, maybe food. I did this last time with tea and water I had on my desk, and it was very cold. In fact, I had little booties on. So I thought from the ego level, from the ego level that I should have the tea. When I did the subtle energy, when I looked at both, my body slightly moved, just very slight, towards the water. And when I drank the water, I felt really, really refreshed and really connected. And then I continued drinking the water for the rest of the show and had tea later. So it's moving out, and as Lucian says, neurotechnique. Yeah, your neurological system is the message to the brain and to the mind. It is connected to the brain center, the heart center. There are messages there. So you're feeling on a sensory level, and that information is brought back into the body. We call it the body wisdom or kinesthetic wisdom. So bypassing the conditioned response patterns, the rationalizations of the ego, oh, this must be good, or this should be good, or I should go, or this is worth more money, or this is better. See, we're moving in this new paradigm beyond that conditioning to get to what is of true resonance. So just, Stephen Walter just did it. Just did it over the computer, was weak, then near one of my photos, strong. Yes, exactly, yes. So it's beyond good or bad. It's moving towards that which is life-enhancing. What is more life-enhancing? We're moving beyond, you know, the polarity of good or bad. Because everything, there's an old, I guess it's a East Indian Hindi story, and I won't go into the whole story, but the basics is this baby is born, they wanted a girl, then it was a boy, that's bad. But then the boy, or, I don't know, they wanted a, anyway, all these choices, if somebody knows the story, Paula was here, he'd remember it, but anyway, and then the boy had a limp, and so that was bad, but then the limp caused him not to have to go to the army, so that was good. So on this plane of existence, this plane of duality, this plane of projection and perception, each situation can be, that's bad, oh no, that now that's good. So we don't want to go for what's good or bad. We want to go for what's most life-enhancing, what makes us feel more vital, what enhances our life. Let's get to some of the questions on air. And, okay, then. Hello, 949-542. Welcome to Awakenings.
Oh, my God, it's a Danya.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. I'm like, how divine is that? I was totally talking about you this morning with another fellow person that you know. And okay. I thought for sure I had to been like the 3,000th person in the queue. And I can't even believe that I'm the first one. That is so divine.
It's just divine.
I mean,
great to connect with you.
Oh, I love you. You know I love you. This conversation is so on the money. And
tell me.
When you're talking about, you know, the things that do or don't bring us joy, and it's really interesting how, since we went into this whole Mercury retrograde, and I've really been focusing on, what do I want? So, what do I want to do right now?
Good time to do that. Evaluate. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, it's put me in such an evaluation mode that literally there's a vacancy sign in my mind right now because the thoughts are just like crickets. I can hear crickets going on in my head. There's nothing going on, which is unlike me because I think a lot. But last night I had this this feeling, and I found myself crying, and then when I tapped into, well, what are these tears about? And I got into that whole observation mode, and I realized that there, I was briefly mourning the passing of an aspect of me that was no longer serving me. And when I tuned into that, I went, well, isn't that interesting? And then I felt a lightness because of, I like to think of us as butterflies emerging from the cocoon, and it was that, you know, I was going through this morning so that the newer aspect of me could come out and shine. And what I find is really fascinating, I have no idea what my question is because I love what you're saying.
Doesn't have to be a question.
Good, fantastic. I mean, and that's just really what's really been showing up. It's kind of, you know, one minute it was this heaviness that I was feeling like, what is this all about? What am I trudging through? And then I'm noticing that my steps, as the days go on, seem to be getting lighter. So I'm definitely looking forward to the end of Mercury retrograde.
Interesting one.
It's been a lot of noticing what is in my present moments, because I'm not a big crier. I'll watch a tearjerker and yes, I'll cry. I'm not a robot, but for me to just, at the drop of the hat, have these deep sobs come from my soul and within the same week is very unusual for me. So that's kind of what's been showing up for me, and I'm in that space of uncertainty and becoming very comfortable with not knowing what's coming.
Not knowing. That is beautiful. That is the not knowing. I've been living in that space for a while. And you know when you need to know, whether it's tuning in or you'll know what you need to know. But that blankness means that you're connecting more to the higher self. It's wonderful.
Oh, good.
Right? Because the higher, the knowing that we need to know on a higher level happens in when we need to know it in that moment. The higher self doesn't need to carry around a bunch of thinking about this and what about that and this and that, that and this. It doesn't do that. It just, that's a function of the ego, the constructed ego personality, the lower surface mind. Amazing.
And I'm not usually, I'm a veteran of the military. My stepfather was, the retiree. I'm usually planning in advance. I'm the person who moves and who's packed, fully packed, 2 months before my move date. So for me to be in the space of, you know what, kiddo, I need you to be comfortable is really what my higher self is encouraging me to do more and more. I need you to be uncomfortable with not knowing your itinerary.
Yeah. Well, and the beautiful thing is sometimes we move into a space where we're doing. So we're setting up things, we're strategizing, so we know what we need to do and we're doing it. But if we don't allow the not knowing space, that's the void. That's the darkness, the potential, that's the unknown. It's unmanifested energy. It hasn't taken form yet. We have to allow that part too. And that's, I find, a lot of people are uncomfortable with that part, so they keep doing and saying they know what they're doing, and, I'm going to go here, I'm going to move, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, instead of allowing that marinating of the void, and then not letting the direction and the manifestations bubble up.
And I totally agree with that, because I was in that space of, shouldn't I be doing something right now? And then I would get that nice little twist in my solar plexus, like, no. And they're like, it was like, no. And I was like, I'm a single mom. How could I not be doing something? How can my mind not be on rabies right now, just foaming at the mouth with all these thoughts? And I was being encouraged, no. And I went, okay. Yeah. And so it was, okay, I either surrender, keep surrendering on the daily and ensuring that, okay, I'm trusting the process with the sing-song voice, okay. And it's just been very interesting. And so I love how my awareness through conversation with my friend this morning, and then poof, I see your email, and I was like, Michelle's got a show today. And you're totally talking about everything that that I've been noticing. And I love how the synchronicities are happening so incredibly
more
fast.
More and more, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, more and more. And, so wonderfully wise of you to not make decisions in the retrograde, but use it for what it's that reflection or reevaluating. It's so wonderful to hear that. It's
a moment.
We have a moment. Well, we have cycles set up. We have cycles set up that we need to follow, and that's following that subtle energy. Is it time to go within? Is it time to go without? Is it time to flow? Is it time to push? Is it time to nudge? Is it time to speak? Time to be quiet? Is it time to reflect? We have those cycles. We've just, and again, we're not talking about emergencies or something happens and you got to respond or, go to call to action. But even those cycles, there's action within non-action. And I think part of the new
energy, the new of the new emerging consciousness, is getting back to our true cycles and our what we call resonant signature frequency. And all that that means is our true, on a soul level, living from that frequency, our own resonance, which boils down to joy. You know, what do we really love doing or know? And for some people, it means you have to clear a lot of stuff to find out, what do I even really like? You know,
right. I totally can resonate with that statement, because that's where I was. I was like, well, what the heck? As I'm watching The Secret Millionaire and I'm crying my eyes out going, oh, I love that kind of stuff. And then it was like, well, you know what? Well, what do I want to do? And what I noticed, although it took me some time into this Mercury retrograde, what I did notice was that I was being encouraged to just slow down.
Yeah.
Because I have been going for so many years, like so many of us, you know, and looking at, you know, looking for the accomplishments, the financial rewards, and my spirit was definitely through all of the humanness that has shown up since this cycle began, was I just need you to be still and trust. And you know, for a lot of us, that can be challenging, for lack of a better word. And when that epiphany came up last night, I went, oh my God, oh. Okay, so I mourned that, and oh, okay, I get it. So there's a lightness about my energy today. There's still an incredible stillness, which is, like I said, bizarre for me. But it's a stillness that because I'm noticing the stillness, I'm like, I want more of that. I want more moments of being within this space. And I notice immediately now when I'm not in alignment, you know.
You have to get that back to your rhythm to know when you're not in that rhythm. Oh, Donya, thank you so much for calling in. We've got another caller, and
I love you. I'm so glad we connected when I was in Rhode Island, and now we're on the same coast, and looking forward to getting your day back. I know, looking forward to that. So if you're doing readings later, I'd like to, you know, jump in the queue for that if that's happening on the show.
Okay. Well, it's now till about 12:45. Then the guest calls in. So we do the readings. Usually, last week we switched it around because I don't know what was with the time change. I don't know where the person was calling in from. I can't remember, Ireland maybe. But So 12 to 12:45.
No problem.
Okay. Blessings.
I'll say blessings to you, too.
Thank you. Hi, 480255, you're on Awakenings.
Hello? Hi.
You're on the air. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. Great. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I work with a woman. And I was kind of curious as to what do you think she feels about me? Because I kind of think maybe she likes me. It just kind of feels like she might be a little confused.
Well, I feel confused. Well, around both of you, you're confused of how she feels, and she's.
Right.
I feel could be in a relationship or left something. Both of you not sure to open up. What's your first name?
Jamie. Her first name? Or
Jamie? Okay. Her first name?
Her name's Kara.
I see you guys talking, but I'm not seeing it really kind of going anywhere. It feels like it stays more on the work level. It's like both of you aren't quite sure you want to cross that little river.
Yeah.
You know? But I do see you could even hang out together, but it does seem a little, right now when you get together, there's a little kind of nervousy. I feel a little, not total nervous energy, but a little uncertain, like, of how to be with each other.
Mm-hmm. You know what's weird? I'm kind of picking this up. I think in a past life we were together, and now it's like, well, aren't we, it's almost like
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah, there you go.
That's funny.
Yeah. There you go. Sometimes, you know, you bring up a good point, because sometimes we're connecting on a soul level, and maybe third and fourth dimensionally, maybe in an everyday level, it's not as much a match. But again, we've been conditioned in our society that if you're attracted to someone or you have sexual feelings, because, you know, attraction and sexual energy is the same as universal energy. There's only one energy.
Right.
It's just we use it in different ways. It's, requalified in different ways. So sometimes you're right. It can kind of throw people off, like, maybe we're supposed to be together. I feel this way. But you're right. It can be something from the past. So it leaves that wonderful bond. I think you knowing this now, Jamie, I think you're going to be more relaxed around her. I think it's going to be easier.
Yeah.
To be easier around her.
Can I ask you a really quick question? It's been bothering me for the longest time, and I never. Why does my eye wander? It's been doing that for, and it's weird because it's on and off. It doesn't do it all the time, and I think it's like a emotional thing, and I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah,
what
it is. Well, I want to say with you something with the relaxation. I feel you're very much in the observer mode a lot with your life, which is good. The witness state, the observer state in meditation is so important, but then we move into a state when you're in the meditative state, you're no longer witnessing, you just are. So I feel you know a lot, you watch yourself a lot. Also, you tend to process a lot through the third eye. You know, the sixth chakra, a lot of intention, a lot of will, very visual, very creative. I want to say with you, you know, talk to a nutritionist or even acupuncturist, but I feel like for you, more minerals, some good B vitamins, extra B vitamins, even take some calcium, magnesium, calming your nervous system, right? That's going to help you. And then practice on purpose, and again, there's some free meditations on selfandlight.com or consciousinspiredliving.com that you can download, the yogic breath, the three-count breath. I think there's grounding meditation. Do some meditations and breath work where you're at will going into the witness self, the detached observer, and then with doing the breath work, you'll start moving more into just being that instead of observing yourself. But you're over-observing your life, and that's causing some stress.
I see.
It's a good gift, the being able to witness and observe others and yourself outside.
I think I know what I do. Instead of living my life, I try to just observe it, right?
Yeah, you got it. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You've got to live. You've got to move more into the living. The observing is important. We need to be able to move into the observer mode. But when we live from the observer mode, it's very stressful.
Yeah.
All right, Jamie. Thanks so much for calling in.
It
was great to connect with you. Yeah.
Have a
great
day.
Take good care.
You
too.
Bye.
Boy, we have some awakened, aware listener participants. Just love it. It's wonderful to connect with everyone. We have with this amazing guest, which also obviously is going to dovetail into much of what we've been speaking about. We have with us today Hazel Courtney, and her book, recent book, is Countdown to Coherence. And I want to welcome her to the program.
How are you?
Hello. Hello, Hazel.
Can you hear?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome from across the pond. It's great to connect with you.
Thank you. And I just thought that your previous caller, I would say to him that what he needs to do is to lighten up a bit and to perhaps have some more fun on his journey instead of taking it quite so seriously.
Seriously. Isn't it? It is a great gift to be able to move into that witness self or the detached observer or an observe and witness. But we also have to just be, right? We just have to live it, to be it, to
Well, you know, I mean,
okay.
we are becoming we are becoming more awakened, and I think that, you know, life is, we're here to learn and to grow from the experience, but I think we're also meant to have some fun along the way. And so I think people they don't need to sweat the small stuff quite so much, and they need to get the bigger picture a little bit more and not take it all quite so desperately seriously on a very, very personal level.
Mm-hmm. Good point. You know, we talked earlier before you came on about the joy, you know, following that joy and the resonance, the subtle energy is guiding us always to what's most life-enhancing. But there is something, and you mentioned this too, as many people are awakening and living more awake, sometimes you're in that steady stage where you're learning so much that it does kind of cramp the joy, you know? It kind of makes things a bit
heavy.
You know,
but I mean,
do you have any suggestions for our listeners of what to do when that, or how not to get into that trap, how to keep connected to the lightness and the joy?
Well, I think that, you know, you have to find things in your life that really make you smile and that make you happy and make you joyful. And I think an earlier lady talked about wanting to be in this space, you know, this quiet space. And Bill Tiller calls it the magnetic information wave level, what people call the empty space between their thoughts. And that's where you link or you couple with these higher levels of reality. So the secret today is to try and somehow stay in what I call neutral. It's not to sort of panic one way and not to go too much to becoming what I call a bliss head. It's just learning to remember that we are all divine beings in a physical body and that we are here to learn and to grow from the experience and to absolutely have some fun along the way, because there's so much going wrong in the world right now. You know, we've got all this fighting in Libya. We've got this terrible destruction in Japan. And so it's really important that people should attach to their own energy grid and to their country's energy grid and to the world energy grid as many positive thoughts as possible, because as you well know, Michelle, what we give out is what we get back. Are you there? Has she gone? Oh dear. I think I've just lost her.
I just got booted out by Blog Talk Radio. Oh. Oh, you can hear me better? Okay, so I can hear on the phone. Okay, I don't know. Somebody's saying can't hear you. Let's see, we lost our guest too, so if she can call back in. Hello?
Hi, Michelle, it's me.
Hi. Okay, gotcha. I don't know what happened there. I'm calling from my cell phone. I got booted out of the radio. And a court question. So if you can talk to that a bit, Hazel, that... you know, how can people keep that joy while they're on this path? And how can they keep that, perhaps, like you said, that lightness or that play without getting perhaps too bogged down?
I think that nearly everybody needs, I mean, don't get me wrong, Michelle, we can't all be positive all the time. But
yeah,
I think that as much as possible, you need to write down or think about every single day all the things that you have in your life that you can be grateful for. Because as you well know, Michelle, what you give out is what you get back. So we all have 40,000 thoughts every day. And if the majority of those thoughts tend to be negative, or I'm never going to meet the right girl, or I'm never going to get the right job, or whatever it is, that is entering your energy field, and that becomes set on your personal grid. And if you keep, the more of us that are sending out negative thoughts, like with all the fighting in Libya or the tsunami in Japan or whatever it is, that all the thoughts are things, they go somewhere. And so everybody needs to be very aware that, first of all, you have to change your own program, then you can change your country's program, then we can change consciousness around the whole globe. And, of course, it's so important to begin with the self.
Yeah. Boy, that is so true, the self. It's like, yeah, but many people trying to change everything else or everything outside them, but not changing their
own
limited program.
You know, if you're at peace, if you could be at peace yourself, or find that space between your thoughts. It's known as the vacuum level of reality. And when we couple with these invisible but now measurable levels of reality, then we are able to effect what many people would call miracles. And so scientists, for instance, now know how telepathy works. They know how distant healing works. But I've even seen orb pictures of thoughts. We now know that sustained, focused intentions can couple with this other level of reality, and we are literally creating our reality as we go along. And so anybody who wants to be on this journey back towards coherence, because I'll just quickly explain, Michelle, I had an intense near-death experience 12 years ago where I was a journalist with the Sunday Times. And I went through an amazing near-death experience with a doctor present where I left my physical body, and I was able to effect what many people would call miracles. I was manifesting ash. I was completely telepathic. I was able to see people's potential futures. I knew what they were thinking. I could smell thoughts. I could see energies. And so that sent me on a journey to find out what is the difference between a truly enlightened person and the rest of us. And it turns out that it's a state of being called brain coherence. And this is when the left side of your brain and the right side of your brain are acting, in fact, your whole brain is acting in a synchronized fashion. And it's known as coherent brain functioning. So when every single one of us meditates or chants or does spiritual practices on a regular basis, what we are gradually doing is making our brains more coherent. And what that means is that an area in the center of your head, in the center of your brain, known as the thalamus, not the thymus, the thalamus, which is linked to sight, smell, touch, hearing, and so on, it starts to ramp up. And so when I had my experience, my Kundalini energy released itself in a big department store here in London called Harrods. And so I was like plugged into an ultimate supercomputer where anything I needed to know in the minute I needed to know it, I could know. All the knowledge that we will ever need is inside of us. But all you have to do is awaken it safely and slowly. You know, nobody needs to go through what I went through.
Right, right. Well, many people are awakening, in their awakening, having these, I've talked to many people that said, even I'm not on a path, similar to what you're saying. I'm not consciously on a path. I didn't even, I didn't even care about this. And now all of a sudden I have healing hands, or people, I touch somebody's head and their headache is gone. So that awakening that's obviously encoded energetically and within the DNA is just happening, even whether the ego personality is on a path or not, at will.
Absolutely, I agree. And it's also happening Spontaneous awakenings are also happening.
Yeah.
The spontaneous happenings happen to people when they're very stressed. It can happen when you're giving birth. It can happen during tantric sex. It can happen for a whole host of reasons, but it's also happening to an awful lot of people who are using crack cocaine, cannabis, and these drugs, and they are breaking through to these other levels of reality, and their brains cannot handle it. They don't know what's going on. And mental homes are full of these kids and many people who have linked, coupled with these other levels of reality, and they're really not coping very well. So all these youngsters and anybody who is out there trying drugs and experimenting with them to accelerate their spiritual growth, or for whatever reason, I would say to you, I beg of them to stop, because you can blow every circuit in your system.
So true. I mean, that's why there needs to be what we call, you know, good, you know, ego reinforcement. There has to be a strong sense of self and have the foundation, and otherwise you get that, instead of a spiritual emergence, you get a spiritual emergency, right? You get
Well, mine sure became a spiritual emergency, because that's obviously when a spiritual awakening becomes a physical crisis. I mean, my eyes were changing color. I was levitating. I mean, I had a doctor with me when I moved from this world to the next, and I have to tell you, I died of shock, because, you know, nobody needs to have a spiritual emergency, absolutely nobody, but if you do, at least now it is becoming recognized, and people are learning what to do, where to go, where to get more help, and what's causing it. So whereas previously people would have perhaps been checked into a mental home or whatever, a psychiatric unit, now if people eat grounding foods, if they are given healing, if they have relatives with them who can guide them through this, it can become a very transformational experience. We can come out the other side. I mean, it's completely changed the course of my life.
And let me ask you, what were you, so you were a journalist before this, so were you not focused on this at all? Did this come from this spiritual emergency and then
what happened to me was I was a weekly columnist with the Sunday Times newspaper, which is a broadsheet here in England, and I was an alternative health writer, and I started to become very interested in spiritual subjects. And what happened was my next-door neighbor taught me how to meditate. And when I first met her, her husband had just died. And I went across the garden to say how sorry I was that her husband had died. I was only in my, like, mid-30s then. This is going back nearly 30 years. God, I can hardly believe I'm saying that. But anyway, I went across to say how sad I was that she'd lost her husband. And she wasn't upset. She wasn't crying. She said, I can talk to him whenever I like. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, she needs some Valium and a psychiatrist. But she started to tell me that she could hear the spirit world, and I said, well, what's the spirit world? And she started to explain it all to me. And she started to teach me to meditate. And then over time, I read quite a few Deepak Chopra-type books and Greg Braden-type books. And then somebody told me about an enlightened woman who at the time was living in Germany. Her name's Mother Mira. And I went to receive Darshan, which is like a blessing of energy through her eyes into my eyes. And there are many hundreds of people that go every day to receive Darshan from Mother Mira. And they said, when she pulses the energy into your eyes, you have to make a wish. You have to really wish for what you want with your whole heart. And I wished for an acceleration in my spiritual growth.
So I was going to say, metaphysically, you always have to ask. So you did ask if you could.
I did ask, but the trouble was 3 months later when my Kundalini blew in Harrods, you know, a department store here in London, I got what I'd asked for, but not quite in the way that I expected it. So I would say to people, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, or get that support. Now, one thing, you talked about the thalamus. Can you speak also, if I've heard the pineal gland will be moving, that will be more the regulator, not so much the thyroid gland. And, of course, you probably have seen or heard there's so much going on right now with emotional imbalance, hormonal imbalance, a lot of people, the thyroid being not impacted in a non-life-enhancing way. There's a lot of thyroid issues on both you know, coasts and even in Asia. What is your understanding of the pineal gland and how that will become, you know, even more important than it is now and more
well, the pineal gland, there's been an awful lot of misinformation about the pineal gland. The pineal gland is the gland in the center of your brain that produces melatonin, which is the hormone that you produce at night when you sleep. And melatonin is very, very important as an antioxidant. And, for instance, they're now using melatonin to help prevent breast cancer in women. So when you meditate, generally your hormones become more balanced, your thyroid becomes more balanced, you don't make as much cortisol and adrenaline, you have lowered blood pressure, you age more slowly because you're giving the whole brain a complete rest for those 20 minutes or however long it is every day. So people like Dromvalo Melchizedek say that the pineal gland is where the soul resides. But as far as I know, physically and scientifically, the pineal gland is responsible for the production of melatonin. And I don't see that the pineal gland per se is anything so much to do with this awakening process. It's far more the thalamus, and it's far more that we need to get total brain coherence. We need to get the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain working as one unit. And when you can achieve that, I think the pineal gland, because Descartes said it's the seat of the soul, and maybe it is the seat of the soul, but I think...
Well, it could be a doorway, but the soul is right in non... You know, it's in the subtle energy, so it
well, absolutely. That's what I think. So
yeah,
I'm not too sure that the pineal gland's got that far to go, but I do know that as we awaken the whole brain and the brain works in a more synchronized fashion, you start to see the world through different eyes. You're
uh-huh.
seeing and experiencing the world at a different level of consciousness.
Yeah.
So on a physical level...
Yeah, and I love what you're saying about, you know, the brain as far as the getting that coherence. And, of course, that's also your book, Countdown to Coherence, which is so harmonizing, coherence, that synergy, all of that is really, if we look metaphysically, it's moving out of the extremes of the dual plane and bringing them together. But we've had Greg Braden on the show as well as Dr. Bruce Lipton and some others, David Hawking and such, so on. And they're saying, you know, the new medicines, the new modalities will be things that do this, you know, that alpha theta healing, hypnotherapy, emotional clearing, like anything that's using those states and bringing that the coherence, as you're saying, of the right and left brain.
Right, but the point being that, say, brilliant people like Bruce Lipton, for instance, they also know that total brain coherence is also the basis for spontaneous healing. So what Bruce Lipton has found and what many others have found is when you believe something, as I did, I was creating my reality instantaneously because I was so coherent. So when you believe something 100% with your whole heart and your whole mind, you can manifest it instantly because all we are made out of is mind and intention form patterns which form matter. We are organized energy. That's what we are. I mean, I think that people need to understand how powerful their minds are.
Yeah. And the subtle energy. Yeah, so what... Explain a little bit, and also we have a question about if you have a website, because I don't have that here. What is the book, of course, we're speaking to Hazel Courtney, and the book is Countdown to Coherence that we're speaking about. And what is the website, Courtney?
Okay, you're very kind. It's www.hazelcourtney.com, but the Courtney is spelled C-O-U-R-T-E-N-E-Y. So it's www.hazelcourtney.com, and all of my books were launched in America actually last week. So they're all available on Amazon.
Oh, good. They're on Amazon. Okay. So,
and they're in all bookshops in America. Good bookshops, of course, that is.
Okay. That's good. So how do you find scientists becoming more open to spirituality, the concepts? You touched on that a few minutes ago, that they're catching up with the research. What are your thoughts?
I think that because I had such a phenomenal experience, because I also had a walk-in, you know, like because my kundalini blew and my energy field was wide open, that meant that the particular spirit who wanted to come and work with me at that time had a sort of open doorway to come in.
I had an
amazing walk-in, and I went to see Professor Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona, and I took part in his afterlife experiments. And when you think that people like Professor Schwartz, who's a professor of psychology and medicine at
the
University of Arizona.
Yep, he's amazing.
When you consider that for almost 10 years they had to do their work behind closed doors, and they're now sticking their heads above the parapet, you know, it's the same that I've watched unfold with complementary medicine or alternative medicine, whatever you want to call it. Yes, there are quite a few quacks, and there are good guys and there are not so good guys in all spheres of life. And so a lot of the scientists that I've dealt with, like William Tiller, who's been studying consciousness and matter for 50 years, Professor Frederick Travis, who has demonstrated the difference between a truly enlightened man and woman and the rest of us, Alberto Velodo, he's a medical anthropologist who taught me about orbs and about the eighth chakra and a whole host of things. And I've interviewed loads of people, Klaus Heinemann, about orbs. These are highly qualified and accredited scientists from great institutions who are now no longer working behind closed doors. And even people like Michio Kaku, he's a theoretical scientist at New York University. He's just written a wonderful book called The Physics of the Impossible. And they're basically saying with today's atom smashers, it's now possible to turn lead into gold. And they're saying that many of the miracles associated with enlightenment that most of us or many people think has to do only with your belief, there is a basis in science. I was able to give intense healing to people. I knew that at a core level, we are all totally coherent, which is what God is. And Bill Tiller has discovered that our acupuncture meridian energy system and our chakras are already functioning at this coherent level of being. Homeopathy functions at this coherent level of being. So when we start to see august scientists like this talking to people like me, then you know that something special is happening. But it's, as you know, Michelle, when you're birthing something brand new, it takes a while to get the message out there. Mm-hmm. You know,
and
so... too,
what's wonderful, too, is that, and you're touching upon this, Hazel, is that we're already this state. This is already happening, or states or levels of being, that there is this connection and openness. That it already is. So in many ways, it's how to, you know, access and integrate that and live that. And a lot of it is the repatterning.
And also to learn discernment. You were talking earlier about the ego self. So it takes a while to know what's your ego speaking and what is the coherent God within you speaking.
Yeah.
So you have to learn discernment and wisdom to know when to trust that intuition and when it's actually guiding you. Because all I know is that as the brain grows in coherence and as we all wake up, you're far more likely to be in the right place at the right time. You find far more synchronicities coming into your life, and you learn to trust your gut instinct far, far more.
Absolutely. Now, we have a question in the chat. And by the way, if you do have questions or comments or, that you want to share in alignment to what we're speaking about now, you can call in 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. We do have a question in the chat about orbs. If you could speak a little bit about that. That's Debbie is asking, tell us about the orbs, please.
Okay, well, Debbie, what orbs are? These are spheres of light that are appearing on digital cameras all over the world and on digital film. And what it is, digital cameras can, if you like, capture more spectrums of light than the old types of cameras. And many highly sensitive people can also see orbs. And Klaus Heinemann has written a book, or several books. He's an ex-NASA physicist, and he has photographed thousands of them. He's experimented on them, and he says they're like plasma beings of light that emit totally coherent light. And there's quite a lot of evidence building that the orbs are intelligent consciousnesses of varying levels of being. And Klaus said to me, I interviewed him for the Sunday Times. In fact, I wrote a big article about him in the Sunday Times. And he said, for centuries, we have been hearing evidence, anecdotal evidence, that the spirit world exists. We are now seeing it. And his book, Dr. Klaus Heinemann, on orbs, is well worth a read. And a lot of people are saying that the orbs are... because I felt when I was on the ceiling of my bedroom on that Easter all those years ago, it's 13 years ago next week, I think, that I felt like I was still me, I was still Hazel, but I was no longer constrained by my physical body. And so when I asked Alberto Valodo if I had become an orb, he said that at the moment of physical death, all the information in our seven chakras uploads, into an eighth chakra, and then we go off. Because remember, once you're dead, the field of information that was you in a physical body, the only thing you've lost is the physical body. You still exist.
Absolutely,
the unique field of information, it still goes on. And so that means that you now exist as a consciousness, but you are outside of physical space-time. And then if people really want to blow their minds, imagine that you can now reincarnate into any period in time.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the next step is the more people having, not just the people more on the fringe or, you know, kind of metaphysicians, but being able to, more people consciously being able to tap into that or have that awareness and living from that place. So there's obviously less disconnect.
And more connect. Yeah, we need a lot more connection.
But
the thing is, if you think about it, Michelle, 95% or 99% maybe of the world's population don't have the faintest idea of what we're talking about right now. So first of all, the world needs to understand that we are divine beings in a physical shell. And then once they realize that their spirit having a physical experience in what Tiller calls this bio-bodysuit, this is our interface with this physical reality, then once they realize who they and us all are, like we're all part of God and all parts make the whole. So once people really get that, I mean, we've still got a long, long, long way to go. But even if it's people starting to meditate or being kinder to their neighbors or themselves or loving themselves, forgiving themselves, carrying less guilt around, then, you know, the sooner we can lighten up. I was talking about your caller earlier, you know, he sounded very serious. And I think that a lot of us, yes, we have to take life seriously. There are certain moments, of course, we all do. But we also need to bring more light to the world. And it was funny because Klaus Heinemann said to me about the orbs, he said, where you have places of hauntings and there are dark orbs, they absorb light. But he said, when the light orbs appear near them, the dark orbs just disappear. There's a lot more light coming to this world.
Yeah. And do you find, too, that, well, first of all, you know, it's interesting, way at the beginning of the program, we talked about starting to do these in real life and virtual connecting of people just to share information of what's happening, whether other cities, other states, nationally, internationally, you know, globally, to bring in more of that, you know, connecting and sharing. Are you seeing, where you're at, are you not only just yourself experiencing this, but seeing around you an activation of this energy and an acceleration?
I think I am, yes, because the more of us that can anchor this light, the more of us that can couple with these other areas of existence, these other realms of existence, these other frequencies, we are anchoring more light. And coherence is very catching. So I'm sure you've had experience, I'm sure many of your listeners have had experience, when you are in the energy field of a pure, enlightened man or woman, you really don't want to leave their presence, you know, because what you're feeling is absolute pure love. And pure love is very catching. So the more of us that can live it, send it out to others, yeah, sure. I think there is an acceleration going on. It's time. I mean, you talk a lot about 2012 and what's coming, and I write about this. I say, you know, the two and the one is about time and space joining with a third, and mind, body, and spirit are going to become as one. That's what 2013 is all about, mind, body, and spirit becoming as one.
The Trinity. Well, yes, and really, I mean, it started with the harmonic convergence or the harmonizing, and I don't know about you where you're at, but my sense is people need to, 2012 is impactful, but it's beyond that, and it's now. So I found a lot of people waiting for that date.
Oh, it's been going on since the 60s. I mean, this is, there's not something absolutely uber magical going to happen on 21st of December 2012. You know, people need to get over this. I mean, yes, we're aligning with the galactic center, but, you know, we're preparing now. So there are people that are becoming very enlightened very quickly. There are children being born very enlightened. This is a process. Not everyone's going to necessarily make it, but the people who are more awake can help the others, you know? So most of the world is still in nappies on a spiritual level. And so those of us who have gone a little bit beyond nappies, because, hey, you know, I like shopping too, then we are supposed to, in any way that we can, help others along their journey, because we all need help along the way.
Yeah, and what would you, a couple of questions we've got. One is, how can we help others? And is it our responsibility to help others? And I'll get to the next question.
Okay, well, it's our responsibility to become more enlightened. It's our responsibility to wake up to who we really are. And so anything that we can do to lighten others' load, nobody can take, I can't feed the whole world. I can't make peace in Libya. I can't stop the radiation leaking in Japan. So what I can do is I can do what I can, where I can, in my world now, to cheer myself and others up.
Mm.
And if you can make a neighbor a cup of tea, if you can just be kinder to people, but mainly be kind to yourself, because you are a divine being. So people worship totally enlightened men or women. Go look in the mirror. You're looking at one. You know, we are all part of, you know, we're all part of God, and all parts make the whole. So all this, I'll never forget once, you know, Michelle, somebody, I've interviewed a lot of enlightened men and women, and I'll never forget once, there's this one particular guy whose name I will not mention, who lives in America, who's supposed to be, one of his followers asked me, would I be willing to sign an agreement before I interviewed this man, saying that you agree that this man is the one and only God on earth at this moment. And it was all I could do not to burst out laughing, because we're all God on earth, but we just don't know it.
So I call those, they're not spiritual teachers, they're spiritual marketers. It's often
not so much the spiritual teachers themselves, it's their followers that get into ego and they're desperate to say, my master or my guru is more powerful than your guru. It's back to ego again.
Ego again. We've got a question on the chat. How does this relate to angels? For days now, little things are happening like toys that play on their own. When I ask, what does this mean, I get no answer. What do I do?
Wow. Keep a spiritual diary, and how wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, just start writing all this down and start taking note of it. And when it's time for the person to know who it is or what it is, then I'm sure that will be shown to them. But I think that we are coupling with these other levels of reality, and to some people it's happening to a greater degree, and to others it's a much lesser degree. So if you have these phenomena happening around you, just start writing them down with a date and a time. Keep a spiritual diary, because some of the stuff I had happening to me, I was trying to share with the whole world, and of course the world didn't want to listen.
Yeah,
so
right.
I would say to people, if you keep a spiritual diary, and then, you know, if you ask that when the time is right, you could understand what's going on, then you will do so. But that's why I wrote the three books, because, you know, it's like I explain just about every phenomena going, because there is an explanation for all of these things. And it's not that most of them are recognized in current physics, but they are recognized by many physicists who are now what I call cutting edge.
Yeah. And you know what, if I may interject here, something you said earlier about the asking, person in the chat room, I love what you say about the spiritual diary, keeping that. Years ago, I asked for, instead of just in session, but to have physical things begin to, similar to what she's saying here, to move, to see that the spirit and matter, you know, manifest.
Can interact.
Yes, interact or appearing or disappearing. So it goes back on some level, this listener must have asked, and I would say acknowledge it. Like you're saying, write it down, but it's sometimes the message simply is, you are this or you are an extension of this, or this is your next level of having an interaction with spirit this way, or manifested form that is taking on animation. So very often, like you had said earlier, Hazel, it comes from asking, you know, and you're aligned, so it happens. Like you asked for, I want this to speed up, you know.
Huh.
A lot of times we get what we ask for, and maybe we don't recognize it, you know.
The thing is, so many people are experiencing various events and phenomena, and they're perhaps denying it. And, you know, when the spirit world or when other realities come knocking, you know, you have to learn, as we talked earlier, about discernment and to know when this is a good thing and perhaps, you know, not such a good thing and you need to let it go. But I think that everybody just needs to be aware that these things can happen to them. And then, as you say, it's an acknowledgement that there is more to this world than we think there is. And so many people, for instance, a lot of people say, like my husband, if they can't see it, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
But as Klaus Heinemann explained, imagine that our universe, our universe is like maybe 100 billion light years across or whatever it is. And imagine that that was only 2,500 miles long. How much of that universe do you think we can see with our physical eyes? We can see an inch. And so just because we can't see something, as you well know, it doesn't mean to say it doesn't exist. I mean, angels exist. Other realms of reality exist. And this is what orbs are beginning to show us. And so with this lady having these various phenomena happening around her, it's the other realms having a little bit of fun with us, I think, sometimes, to say, hey, guys, we're here. We're ready to play with you, you know. And so you have to learn to play back.
Absolutely. Well, Hazel, we have wound out of third, fourth dimensional time here.
Okay, well, it's been lovely, lovely, lovely talking to you.
You as well. And we have a couple people already saying, can you have this guest back? So you have an open invite to come back and we'll pick up again. And again, we've been speaking with Hazel Courtenay. Her book is Countdown to Coherence. It is available internationally via Amazon. Thank you so much. And
thank you. God bless.
God bless. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye.